Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and what's the over-under on getting a live-action Shrek movie in the next decade? Ah, who am I kidding? Y'all know that shit's gonna happen. And with me, I have...
It's now Wrath Month. We demand an eye for an eye and blood for blood. We're not fucking around anymore.
And...
Hey, Rob, I know there's a bunch of special obstacles in your house. I just wondering, no, it didn't come from a burning oil rig from Russia.
You know, I go on vacation for 1 week, and this is what I come back to. God damn. I can't leave you two alone, can I?
Hey, don't look at me. I had nothing to do with any of that. I missed last week's episode. I was busy too.
Look at me. That came from me. They said looking for, well, you. Either that or they confuse you for somebody.
I don't know what they're looking at me for. I haven't committed any crimes recently that I'm aware of. Oh, this might be because of all the timeline hopping. Long story, involves an academy of weird teenagers. But, anyway. I gotta make sure I have a better contingency plan when I go on vacation. Which, come on, Alex, you're supposed to be the voice of reason when I'm gone. Hell, you're supposed to be the voice of reason anyways. I can't be the voice of reason. Have you met me?
Fair. But sometimes even I need a little break from everything. I need to go away for a little while, which... in my case, it's just a 20-minute drive from my house.
Meanwhile, I'm just the goofy one, or the one that's slightly depressing, or like this really depressing. I don't know.
That could be all of us. Anyway, we'll clear that up soon enough. But yeah, here we are, episode 395 of this. Little podcast. So, what have we all been up to in the week absence that there was?
The first week, not a lot. Just the usual busy nonsense on my end because life is still very busy and very unrelentingly difficult for obvious reasons. So much so that I had to take. For the first time in a while, I took a weekend off from everything, and I went into a concert. A little band you might have heard of called Metallica? Maybe you've heard of them? I don't know.
Kind of.
Yeah, they played at this very, low-key, very small venue. Bank of America Stadium?
What the fuck is a bank?
It's something that old people like to use when they don't have, apps on their phone, which, hey, I'm an old person. I use banks, technically, but, terrible jokes aside. Yes, I spent money to see Metallica at the football stadium here in Charlotte. Not going to say how much money, but I will say it was worth it. It was a very, very, very packed house. Everybody's saying like 75,000 people, which, Jesus Christ, that's overwhelming. But I managed to pay for a good spot in the building. Not super high up in the nosebleeds, but not enough to get on the floor. But close enough to the floor where I had a good view of everything, which, yeah. If I only do this one time, it will have been worth it. The whole experience was a bit of a madhouse in uptown Charlotte last weekend. Just people everywhere, as far as the eye can see. I managed to get a hotel room right next door for free because reasons I'm not going to get into. Don't need to explain any of that. So no traveling for me, no getting home at 2:30 in the morning like all the other suckers did. I still managed to go to sleep at 2 o'clock that night, but whatever. Okay, so here's my very short review of the concert as a whole. I will say the sound, very good, very loud, very booming. great sound mix. I did have my, you know, earbuds in so I can get that 25 dB cut and protect my hearing, which got up to 106 decibels at the very end, which is very loud, especially when it's a 2-hour show. As far as, you know, the other acts that came along, Suicidal Tendencies. Mike Muir, I appreciate your work as a front man, but I think you need to go to your own crowds, because this was a very much pro-Metallica, we don't know anyone else kind of crowd. Also, I kind of think that the whole bit of going suicidal after every song, it gets kind of old after like 2 songs. Okay, the job of the opening act is to warm the crowd up. That's just what they do. Also, Jay Weinberg, I would say, was the best of the 3 drummers at the show. He's got groove, he's got rhythm, he's got timing, and those kicks were loud.
Well, it seems like that whole weird drummer switch situation worked out well for those bands.
Yeah. Now we're in the middle of another weird drummer situation where, like, 275 drummers have quit their bands in the last month.
Were fired, spontaneously combusted, possibly.
That tends to happen. Anyway, after they've wrapped up their set, the Pantera Tribute Experience came out. As an opening band, I can deal with it. I probably would not pay to see them live. It just feels kind of weird. Just saying. Like, I have the classic Pantera albums in my head, you know, almost memorized, note for note, because I'm one of those weirdos. Not so hot take. Zakk Wylde is not as good of a guitar player as Simon Magdaro was. I get it, he has his shtick, but just kind of sloppy. And I gotta say the same thing about Charlie Benanti on the drums. Like, he's a fantastic drummer. I'm not saying he sucks. He does not suck. But he tends to sort of rush and drag at times.
Ooh.
It proves that you're not playing to a click, which is, yeah, that's fine, but, you know, you gotta have that sense of timing. And, you know, rushing and dragging. I can pick that up because I'm a weirdo who studied music for 15 years. Everyone else seemed to be okay with it, but then again, they're not weirdos who study music for 15 years. Also, in regards to some of the people in the crowd near me, my God, I am so sick to death of at every metal show seeing the 50 and 60-something-year-old former groupies doing the whole woo and gyrating and swaying to every song while they're 5 beers in during the second opening act. Chill the fuck out, people, please. Also, to the 2 people who basically said, hey, these aren't our seats. We're just here because our seats suck. No. These seats cost a lot of money. Go the fuck to your seats you paid for, you damn weirdos.
Yeah.
Every single time, man. But yeah, aside from all that, then came Metallica at about 8:50-ish or so. Almost 9 o'clock. And, look, I know I was like a couple hundred feet away from seeing the center stage that they have set up. Still a fantastic show. Like, the lights, the presentation, the sound mixing, the stage presence, it was all there. And I guess God was on their side because we got a little bit of cool special effects. They played the song Orion, which was fantastic. I've never heard that song live before. Right after, because he dedicated it to Cliff Burton. You know, it's the anniversary of his death came a little while ago. After that, it started to rain. Not super hard, just a little light rain during the next song. Fatally enough, nothing else matters. And it just felt kind of perfect. Hard to explain. It was perfect timing, perfect coordination. Nature was on our side, and as soon as the song was over, the rain passed on by. I couldn't make it up if I tried, honestly. But yeah, fantastic time all around. My 3rd time seeing Metallica. Every time has been a little bit different. And yeah, I know, they're not the same band that they used to be. They do slip up every now and then. They're in their 60s. We're paying for the experience, and we got a damn fine experience. it was well worth the egregious amount of money I paid. Same with the merchandise, which look, that was a steal compared to the money I paid for tickets, but God. Still worth it, though. Still worth it in the end. Then I went back to my hotel room right after, and I left for my house the next day. And the next morning, the whole area in Uptown, ghost town. Not a single car or person around. It's kind of weird, but I liked it. So yeah, that was my one concert of the year that I'm going to go to. Or maybe I'm going to another one. I don't know. You never know. And just to lump this all in at the end so I can, you know, move on. I saw a couple things. I saw Pee Wee as Himself on HBO. That was a fantastic documentary. I laughed and cried. And I also got, because I had to go to Walmart to buy a couple things before the concerts, The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie. There is a special place in hell reserved for David Zaslav for not knowing what to do with this. Just release it. They will come. It was fantastic. And Farmer Jim is most certainly the best. God bless Farmer Jim.
Excellent. Sounds like a way to spend a couple weeks.
Yeah, that sure was.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, I could have bullshit you a couple of details, but I'm going to get to the chase. A fucking storm came around my area. And you see the post online? A fucking tree fell. Smashed a fucking shed. Like, oof. Flattened. Like, done for. Our house is fine. It's just, our shed just got hit, and it covered the whole backyard, which is full of trees and pine, and other neighbors, like, every, you better see trees from there, too, like, the power was out for almost a day. I mean, well, it was out, well, okay, actually, it happened around Tuesday night, around almost Wednesday, is like, that's when the power went out. It's like, oh, fuck. So, it's all about that there was a power line down that was blocking my way of going to work. So I had to call and say, I can't make it today because I don't want that to happen to me while going to work. So, had a day off mainly because of that shit. I will say the power did came back on that Wednesday night. However, the Wi-Fi wasn't working, so I had to call AT&T and say, a wire's hanging low here. They fought me, like, on here because they fought, well, maybe you should get a new box. Like, I don't want a new box. Just get somebody to fix the wire, which they did. You know, they, as this is a new modem, so I'll turn that one back. Thankfully, I got that shit solved, so. As you can see, my week kind of sucked because of that happening. On things that I watched, at least things that I revisited. Remember that show Pushing Daisies?
Vaguely.
Uh-huh. Yes, I mean, I figured nicely in the wild, so I figured, well, you know, they would watch. I'm like, oh, I remember why I liked it so much. Then I remember, oh, that's right, the shit got canceled. Which, it's one of those shows that's like, it got canceled too soon.
It's always something, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It also. Yeah, it's just especially with a unique premise, a sad one too. It's like you touch one dead thing, they're alive. Touch it again, they're dead forever. Or if you leave them for more than a minute, somebody else gonna die. Fuck that premise. It works.
I might have to keep that in mind if I'm ever looking for stuff to watch.
I know it's on, well, it's on, well, I want to say it's on Max, but I watched it on Hulu.
Well, so, either way, I got both of those things.
Okay, yeah. So, so there you go. And also, since it hit, since this movie hit Disney Plus, yeah, Captain America Bring the World, it's fine. I'm fine with it. I'm okay. I mean, it ain't the, I'm completely, completely neutral on this.
Ah, so you are, as the kids say, whelmed. Yes. Not overwhelmed, not underwhelmed, just whelmed.
There are many movies out there, and that was one of them.
And also, my dumbass, thought this new Kendrick Lamar song was like, no, that's I. Which I thought, oh, they're using that song as end credits. Still good, but like, okay.
Hmm. Cool, cool. Well, except for all the bad stuff, but...
Yeah, like, I have a bunch of trees all around my house, and I am very scared one day something's going to happen, and we're just going to boop, and it's going to crash, like, on my roof. Like, I'm hoping and praying that never happens, but I'm very scared it will one day.
We just got to cross our fingers and pray to survive, especially with hurricane season now upon us.
Yeah, don't worry. The people at FEMA know what they're doing, except for the head of FEMA who doesn't know what hurricane season actually is. We are all very, very fucked, and we need to take these people out at all fucking costs!
Yeah.
Remember, my bum ass lives in North Carolina, and we're still kind of fucked from the hurricane last year.
Yeah. Yeah, just terrifying things all around, but I should probably continue with actual words instead of grumbling about things. So anyway, as for me, like I said, the reason we were on break was because I was on vacation. Because I went out to Boston, specifically to attend Anime Boston. And first things first, it was raining like fuck when I landed in Boston. Yeah, it's probably a good thing. I didn't bring an umbrella with me. My dumbass didn't think that far ahead. But it was a good thing at least that I had two costumes with me that had hoodies, so I could at least protect myself a little bit, because, okay, so the hotel I was staying at, it was like a 10-minute walk to where the convention actually was, because it's near, okay, so there's a shopping center called the Prudential. You walk all the way, like, from one end to the other, and then you could see a hotel, like, the main hotel that hosts the convention, and then the actual convention center itself, literally, like, right fucking there. So, I flew in on Thursday, decided to walk over there because, you know, I wanted to meet my partner there for some dinner. And also maybe grab a few things. Just kind of check out the area. And there was a pretty tasty food had that night. I also had a conversation with a guy dressed as Peter Griffin. Well, it was more like, holy crap, Lois, it's Peter Griffin! And he was like, holy crap, Lois, it's Charlie from Smiling Fringe! And I was wearing my orange hoodie, in case you can't tell. But, yeah, that was how my Thursday went. Then Friday, the convention festivities went proper. So, I was, of course, dressed as Denji the whole day. My partner was Power. We went to a Chainsaw Man, you know, hosted photo shoot later that day, which was a lot of fun. By the way, shout out to the absolute Chad who was cosplaying Kobeni's car. If you know, you know. That man was my hero. And, yeah, it was pretty interesting to, you know, kind of check out what was going on in the area. Of course, I went to the opening ceremony, which had, like, all the guests, the voice actors, industry people. And, I did attend a panel that day, that being an Anime in 1995 panel hosted by none other than Daryl Surratt of the Anime World Order podcast. Yeah, he was, like, one of the featured, like, industry guests alongside, none other than Mike Toole. But yeah, that was a pretty interesting panel. Was reminded of how 1995 was the year of Evangelion and Gundam Wing. You know, pretty boys with problems. Learned about some interesting niche stuff that I probably should look at some point. And also I found out about the time that Taco Bell sold tie-in toys to the failed attempt at making an Americanized version of Kamen Rider. And then Alex informed me that they also did the same but with Cardcaptor Sakura toys.
Okay.
It didn't make sense at the time, and it doesn't make sense now.
Like, see, I feel like in 2025, there's plenty of data that says, okay, weebs eat at Taco Bell. Let's do this tie-in. But in the early 90s, like, well, mid-90s, some dude had to be, like, flying by the seat of their pants. Let's just, you know what, let's just fucking do it, man. And then the day after, I was, well, the first half of the day, I was Shin from Sakamoto Days, and then the back half of the day, I was Jax from the Spudsies episode of The Amazing Digital Circus, which kind of makes me sad that I waited for Saturday for that, because I did see someone doing Spudsies Gangle on Friday. Oh, if only I would have walked up to them and been like, you know, the whole manic episode thing. Anyway. But yeah, there was a lot of fun stuff that day, including like the big cosplay masquerade, with a lot of cosplayers doing like, you know, fun sketches and stuff. The one that made me laugh the hardest was an anime rendition of Chopped, featuring Sanji, Lyos, and Link as contestants. Oh, the weebs. And then Sunday, I was mainly hanging around as the aforementioned Charlie, and weirdly enough, of my various outfits, Charlie's the one that prompted the most, hey, can I take your picture? I guess more weebs fuck with smiling friends than I thought. Then again, have you seen some of the shit that anime characters have to go through? They desperately need someone to help them smile. You know, I'm cool. I'm a weeb. I watch airplane instructional videos from the 70s. But, yeah, there was a lot of, it was just altogether a lot of fun. And yeah, like, I think the closing ceremony on Sunday was like from 3 to 4, and then pretty much as soon as that finished, everyone cleared out, and I didn't fly back out until Monday, so I just walked back to the center while I was trying to kill time until I had to check out of the hotel, and like, yeah, it's pretty much what, very close to what Alex described about the concert, like, it was just dead. Like, granted, it was like fucking, you know, federal holiday and shit, but still, just like, it was so empty, the banner was gone. Although I did notice there was also a church, like, literally in the mall right across from the entrance to the convention center. You know, for, I guess if any weebs need to confess their sins, like, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I believe I said, Satoru Gojo is not that attractive. And then God looked down on me and he never forgave me for my crimes. But not, yeah, it was a blast. I even had, like, I still have my, like, convention badge with me. And I'm new to this. I didn't realize there was a thing where, like, people will hand out ribbons at conventions themed along various things. So, like, I got a Chainsaw Man ribbon from a Makima cosplayer that I'm mutuals with. I got a Puzzle Master ribbon from someone cosplaying Professor Layton because I solved a riddle. A Senshi ribbon that says bread. And bread. Seriously, y'all ever have bread? And a ribbon that says, I touched grass today. There was a guy walking around. He just had like a big patch of grass. It was like, ha, now people can't tell me I've never touched grass. But, yeah, so that was a super fun time. I might have to go back next year, There was also a lot of tasty food had. What was I going to say? I'm still thinking about like this breakfast sandwich I had that was just potatoes, egg, and pesto. I'm like, man, that's going to haunt me until next year. But I will remember for next year. So yeah, that was pretty much my entire week. Yeah, might as well not delay any longer. So let's get back into the groove of all these things, like 24 minutes in, starting with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new albums, put some new tunes in your playlist, all that jazz. So let's start right up at the top here. Looks like we have a new single here from Caitlin Aurelia Smith. As a reminder, her new album Gush is due out August 22nd, so she's kind of getting the promotional stuff out way ahead of the curve, it seems. So this new one is called Urges, and it has, at least from the start, this kind of low bassy humming where over top it lays a lot of these kind of melodies and effects. Kind of like a mix of more subtle computer sounds and this very like insect-like buzzing, with Smith's vocals having a lot of, you know, the expected echo effects, delays, all that kind of, like, you know, digital processing after the fact to kind of mix with this sort of floaty, sort of detached from gravity nature to the production at all. Not bad. I dig it. Let's wait till August.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, this was just an interesting song for me from her. And there's also the video, which is a... I want to say it's weird as fuck, but then again, the last song she made with the video, well, I mean, it's still in the category. It's like to see somebody upside down on a table and, I don't know, walking legs. I'm just speaking of what I saw, and I'm seeing the thumbnail of the video, which is basically like someone on the table. Yeah, it's some weird shit.
What is with that video? Like, what kind of interpretive dance am I seeing here? Is it the mating habits of snails or?
Yes.
Or tables? I don't know.
Yes.
No. We are not the table here, okay?
Oh, Lord.
I'm not the table!
But we had to know that reference was coming up, and we did it anyways.
Yeah, remember, folks, my humor, it's like a dry gin and vodka, or dry gin and tonic. It may not go down smooth, but you'll feel it in your guts.
You know, I've been meaning to ask, what the fuck goes in a gin and tonic anyways?
Gin, tonic, an olive, and lots of lamentations and depression.
Oh god, fucking olives, why?
I don't know why.
I guess beyond my humor is just either very, very unhinged.
Yes.
Next track.
Aren't we all?
Anyway, let's move on to the next track. So, earlier in the year, the band Electric Callboy released the absolute earworm that is Elevator Operator, with the promise of a new album coming sometime soon. Don't know when, we just know that it's a thing. However, they did recently part ways with longtime drummer David Carl Frederick, so who knows what the future has in store. You know, aside from the fact that we know there's a new song to talk about here, it's called Reverie, and it's quite a notable swerve from that previous, like, you know, sugary sweet adrenaline rush of, you know, EDM metalcore stuff. I mean, you still have EDM and metalcore here, but there are different flavors, like, you know, the metalcore parts are still very, like, energetic fist-pumping type deals, but rather than the more goofy, cheery, bright EDM of their recent output, this one's got a bit more of an edge. It's definitely kind of got, like, this, sort of like with the video, there's this weird dark fantasy thing going on, so that's kind of driving a lot of this. It's, again, it's not a bad song. Like, I get what it's going for, it's just, man, you're not going to top Elevator Operator if you're trying to go in a, you know, completely different direction, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, it's a nice heavier change of pace here. You know, sometimes you don't need to bring out a club jam. Instead, you have to take on an Eldritch Horde with breakdowns. And that could be a fun time, too.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. And now I don't need to see any more Stranger Things. I've seen this video. I know how it ends. Also, please just end it. It's going on way too long. And this would get more One Piece already.
Yeah, I guess I think most of the cast is already grown up or some shit.
Yes, it is the embodiment of how do you do, fellow kids?
You know, someone pointed this out on the internet somewhere, that between seasons 4 and 5 of Stranger Things, we got 3 seasons of The Bear. Huh.
How? Well, okay.
Let's move on to the next track here. Looks like we have someone named Justine Sky. Now, who the hell is that?
I want to say he's a singer. I want to say singer, but that's too vague. But it's the reason why I picked this, because not because of the singer, but because of who produced it. Oh, look, Kate Renata.
Hey!
Yes, anyway, Lucy, there's an elusive track inside of Ooh La La, which is, anyway, which is basically it's the beginning of the, you know, sultry summer jam shit, I can dig this. It's definitely something that you will play on the dance floor. And in the club where it's very hot and sweaty. Because it got this dance house feel, which Kendrick has been doing for a while now. Like, it's basically, very, I want to say dance hall vibe, but not really. It's more like house music vibes or something, which I, the instrumental, the singing, which is very, very, very airy and sensual, which, okay. The song, it's a cool song. It's definitely something that if you I want to go to a club, but more like if you go to a rave, but now I don't know if that's the right word for it, but just say like house party, like underground house party, and somebody play this shit, somebody, you'll probably dance to it.
Yep. Couldn't say it better myself. Now, moving on to the next track here. A while back, we reported on a crowdfunding campaign to release the lone studio album of a metal project called Vimic, notably the brainchild of the late Joey Jordison. But it looks like that's not the only Jordison project seeing a resurgence of sorts in 2025. Worth noting that during the tail end of the 2020s, he was in a black and death metal project called Sinsanum, who dropped two albums in 2016 and the other in 2018, and then nothing else beyond that. But now it looks like Sinsanum is back. They announced their third studio album, In Devastation, due out August 8th. And the obvious lineup change here is that in place on drums is a man named Andre Joyzy, who, wow, I just realized that made me sound like I said Joyzy, like new Joyzy, but Joy, J-O-Y-Z-I, just to be clear, who used to be Jordison's drum tech. So, you know, if there was anyone most fitting to take the helm. Anyway, so we have, going along with this announcement, the title track released as its lead single, and this is definitely some real meat and potatoes death metal with shades of, you know, black metal in there. Not too much, but, you know, just enough. It's very reminiscent of bands like Discarnate. The guitars alternate a lot between these very big, chugging riffs and a lot of these rapid tremolo progressions. The drums equally match suit, you know, they got a lot of nice grooves and some pretty rapid kick runs. A lot of it's pretty satisfying if you're just looking for like that, you know, just adrenaline pumping death metal. At times, some of the songwriting can sound a bit awkward, like some of the melodic interplay of the guitars and the vocals having like, they're good for the most part, but the occasional passage that sounds just a bit too dry on it. But either way, the single's definitely got some meat on its bones if that's what you're looking for in your metal.
Yep, quality stuff here, heavy and grooving and pulsing with death metal goodness. Yeah, could use a little bit of polish, but other than that, it's fine.
Alright, we'll have to, you know, keep an eye out on that. But now, moving on to the next one here. Looks like this year we'll be seeing a brand new album courtesy of The Armed. You know, they've been keeping busy doing live shows, playing rallies, all that kind of stuff. The new project is called The Future Is Here and Everything Needs to Be Destroyed. Tell us how you really feel. Yeah, it's due out August 1st, and we have the lead single here called Well Made Play. Now, just for a bit of context, I was kind of nervous going into this single because, as a reminder, Only Love and Ultra Pop pretty much skyrocketed damn near all the way to the top of my year-end list for those respective years. And the album that came, you know, in 2023, Perfect Saviors, kind of underwhelming. It's not one I've really gone to revisit much, although, for what it's worth, I did listen to that Everlasting Gaze EP, and that had a little bit more of the energy I was looking for here. But, yeah, kind of not sure how to feel about that. But, you know, as always, this is probably going to be a very interesting record. Plus, there's a gigantic list of collaborators. you know, as usual, you have, like, you know, they literally gave this press release that said a whole bunch of names that include, like, guitarist for Converge and Queens of the Stone Age, a frequent collaborator of Chelsea Wolf, M83's go-to producer, apparently a jazz saxophonist. Although, weirdly enough, according to the Stereo Gum piece here, the band photo promo includes George Clark, the frontman of Death Heaven, but he's not mentioned in that announcement. Who fucking knows? But anyway, let's talk about the song Well Made Play itself. This definitely feels like it's already tempting to win back guys like me that might have been underwhelmed by Perfect Saviors, because this is absolutely on the more booming, explosive end of the armed spectrum. The verses blare out this kind of, like, droning bass mixed in with this lot of, like, ramping up drums, these walls of guitar feedback, the kind of address, you know, the aggressive shouting vocals that you come to expect from, again, their harder tracks. When it gets into the chorus, the energy ramps up even further as you get more of, like, the D-beats and drums and just a fuckload of blasts of various kinds. Like, seriously, there's no holding back. And then I start blasting. Of course, a lot of the backing vocals, I think that's Kara Drolshagen. Never actually figured out how you pronounce her last name, but yeah, she's also adding in her own distinct brand of screeching vocals into the mix. And of course, the band's penchant for unusually serene guitar melodies laid over top the discordance makes itself known. You know, whether it's guitars or synths. And of course, we get an utterly wild discordant jazz saxophone solo thrown in for good measure. So, very solid first impression. Please don't make me regret this.
Well, I continue to not really know what the Armed really is, or if they're actually real and not just a simulation in someone's computer, but bring on the craziness and I'll check it out at least. This was fine.
Now the only question is, will we have any more cameos from David Hayter? Or Tommy Wiseau?
Or Tommy Wiseau, yeah.
Or perhaps some other third thing that we didn't consider.
Greg Sestero.
Oh, fuck, him too, right.
Because remember, people are very strange these days.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So as a reminder, June 27th, we'll see the release of the newest studio album from Lorde called Virgin. And we have the next single from the album called Man of the Year. So production-wise, it starts off on this kind of low-key note with a lot of steady minimal, this kind of steady minimal bass lick, one that kind of loops and gradually starts to build, and it becomes something much grander towards the back half of the song with a lot of these, you know, bursts of synths and guitars and altogether just, like, big band elements and stuff. Lyrically, the song is mainly about self-love through the idea of, you know, becoming the quote-unquote man of the year, you know, Lorde loving herself more than any guy ever could. You know, as appropriately summed up in lyrics like, take my knife and I cut the cord, my baby can't believe I've become someone else, someone more like myself. You know, that's a level of self-confidence that sometimes I wish I had, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely more of like a bigger sounding single than you know, the previous one that we got to kick off this album cycle off. I think I prefer this one a little bit more than that first single, that if I'm having to compare the two.
Well, this is more like it. This kind of track is more like it, a bit slower and more introspective, with a strong bass fueled groove to it, along with a lot of things happening, I'll just say. Read, not between the lines, read the lines themselves. You'll see what's going on.
Yeah, that is definitely some symbolism in the video as well. But, we'll of course have a few more weeks until then. But, for now, we have to move on to the final single on the list here. And boy, howdy, what an announcement and a topic to end off on. So,
yep,
Mark, yeah, would you care to do the honors?
So it's been a while since we heard from Pusha T. I mean, his last album came out 2022, and of course, you remember the infamous beef from last year. You may remember While Kendrick remains champ of that, well, let's remember the one that threw the first stone. That being Pusha T, and of course from the last album, last album under Def Jam and the sunk ship that is Good Music.
Oh.
And of course, he did mention that his brother Malice, formerly No Malice or just Malice now. Look, okay. Anyway, Clips, the group to start up with. Yeah, they're gonna have another album. It's the first album in 16 years.
Jesus, that's...
The long-awaited Union album titled Let God Sort 'Em Out. Rock Nation, by the way.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, yeah, there's a reason for that, by the way.
Yeah, and of course, because we got a single, we heard the first single, Ace Trumpets, which, yep, if you want the calculated epic boom bap nasty sound to get for them, you got it. The way the song starts out, which they got Pusha T going, Ballerinas doing purpose inside my snow globe, shopping streets in Soho. We had to see it. She was taking ass and watching the dough blow. Ace Trumpets and Moholes. The first line of him was weird. Like, y'all, that was like PP, which is from DC to my private Waikiki, 3-peat niggas to my sons, that's on repeat. Here's the father's little Michis. It's easy. And also gotta say, Malice, whatever his name. Okay, Malice. He got he has a good line too, like he went like a penny a la vodka, him in a fishing village. This is where Papa would chop us all your pasta, just fry window shoppers. So like, over a meal we call focaccia, we just call Akasha. Never leave a hole in my piece like a Mahatma. From the Jabba Chuda, I'm Mufasa. Live to the cheek, you'll die at the Oscars. Persona Negrata in Mikasa Sukasa. Drugs killed my teen spirit, welcome to Nevada. You was Fuji La La, I was Alibaba. Doesn't have to Gucci facility. Made for some Lady Gaga, Akuna Matata. I just sang the whole verse for now, but these two still got like this. Is like they good verses in this beat. And this beat's pretty nasty himself. And you gotta remember, like, I wonder who made this beat. Oh yeah, that's Pharrell. That Pharrell. Reminder that they used to be on that old label Star Trek, which kind of makes sense because they were pretty tight. So yeah,
kudos to Pharrell on this beat. The bars are already hard enough, but throwing it on a beat that quite frankly sounds like a far far better version of like the rage music sound, as it were. Chef's kiss.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to chime in with some details that came from a Pusha T interview he did with GQ. Also, this album was produced at the Louis Vuitton headquarters in Paris. That's how I found out that Pharrell is the company's creative director of menswear.
Yeah. Huh.
Okay.
I know he took over after... Want to say the last person passed away? That's Virgil Abloh, who I believe that was. But yeah, he took over he's that now.
Okay, so some details here. The album has apparently been done for a year, but there's a reason why Def Jam wasn't so keen on releasing it in the year of our Lord, not like us. There's a Kendrick Lamar feature on here. So what happened was, they basically were able to leave Def Jam, and they were able to shop it around. They got signed to Roc Nation. Pusha T also got dropped from Def Jam to move on to Roc Nation, maybe? I don't know. Apparently they didn't want any more issues to come in the wake of all of that. Which proves that the people at UMG are cowards. You should have released this last year, in the year of our Lord, not like us. Would have made a hot hip-hop year even hotter. Apparently there are no Drake references on the album, citing the interview. That's it. Hey, it's coming out, and it'll probably be very fire.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have to wait until 7-Eleven.
Oh, thank heaven.
That about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a bit of news, so stay tuned. And we're back. We have a few topics to discuss here, the first of which concerns the realm of metal music YouTubers.
It's down bad.
Yeah, so if you know a thing or two about YouTube, metal, etc., and probably enjoy yourself some dank shit posts and memes, then you're probably familiar with one Mr. Nick Nocturnal, who is a man who's gotten around quite a bit, not just recording his own music, but also making a myriad of, reaction videos and videos offering various takes on all kinds of things, whether it's fun stuff like the Knocked Loose Jimmy Kimmel performance, or serious shit like the time Mick Gordon got screwed over by id Software. I still have not forgiven them for that. But of course, when you spend a lot of time, cranking out stuff for YouTube, at a certain point, you're going to hit, some level of burnout. As evidenced by the past couple of weeks, where he recently announced that he's going to be going on an indefinite hiatus. Just to borrow, a few quotes, after creating content for over 11 years, I've decided to take an indefinite break from uploading to focus on some important real-life stuff and figure out what's next for me. Full explanations up on the channel. Thank you to everyone that showed support to the amazing community we built over the years. Whether you watched one video or stuck with me for a decade, you've been a part of something I'll never forget. This channel changed my life, and so did many of you. For now, I'm stepping away to reconnect with myself and figure out what comes left. Well, what comes next. Also, shortly after the announcement, he dropped one last little goodie, a 2000s metalcore throwback EP called The Lost Chapters, which I actually listened to, over the weekend, and I can confirm it's pretty alright. There's 6 tracks on it, and 5 of them don't feature Philip Labonte of All That Remains.
Look, we know he is not so much terminally online like we are. He's probably just more agnostic to all that stuff, which I get it, but at the same time, again, we're the weirdos here, but burnout sucks. I can tell you firsthand, burnout is fucking terrible. Sucks.
Yeah. So, who knows how long he's gonna be gone, and who's gonna give us those good reaction shit posts in the meantime?
Well, I guess it's gonna be us to come up with fun metal things. Which unfortunately is not that many, because have you seen the state of the metal YouTube community right now? It's just chock full of nonsense and plagiarism.
Oh, yeah.
Don't steal guitar riffs from other people and say they're yours, Giacomo.
Is that the fucking Rings of Saturn guy?
No, that's the guy from Italy who got a bunch of endorsement deals for stealing other people's riffs and licks and solos and putting them on Instagram, and got called out on it, and very, very unflatteringly went, ha, 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 get help to everyone else. Or just that one guy.
Oh, yeah, it's everyone else's fault but me. You know, kind of like Ice Nine Kills with all the AI bullshit.
Look, people seeing Metallica for this month, maybe go get your concessions and merch during that set. People in Europe next year, y'all are lucky. Your opening acts for that leg of Metallica's tour are Knocked Loose and Gojira. Why couldn't I have gotten Knocked Loose and Gojira on Saturday? Come on.
Man, we never get the good stuff.
No, because American crowds suck.
Yeah. But yeah, hopefully we can get back to the fun YouTube metal stuff. There are more subgenres that need to be made fun of in sketch comedy form.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to the next topic here. So, fun bit of a brief tangent here, but a while back, a mutual associate of ours had reached out to me for some anonymous help with, like, a video they were doing about, like, related to various blockbuster films of, like, the past 20 years or so. Just kind of like, okay, here's the top 10, you know, highest grossing films of this or that year. Pick one that you think is the best. And I remember, I bring this up because I remember the first year he gave me. It was, I don't remember the exact year, but I do know that one of the top 10 movies was, one of those Meet the Parents movies. I forget if it was Meet the Parents or Meet the Fockers. But I saw it, and I had to double take, because, like, wait, that movie made how fucking much? Yeah, just, goddamn, like, it really feels like such this ancient, long ago period when, like, Ben Stiller was a gigantic box office draw. And it's like, I know he still does stuff, but, like, I actually don't remember when the last time he was, like, in an on-screen role aside from, what was it, the Zoolander sequel?
Oh, God, no.
Isn't he, like, mainly producing stuff these days? Like, actually, you know what? Hang on. I'm gonna...
I think he's doing that one show from Apple TV, Severance?
Yeah, he's just been producing one of the biggest shows in the world over the last couple of years.
Directed and executive produced. That's the bitch. But yeah, I actually don't know if he's, like, been doing a lot of on-screen stuff recently, aside from, like, well, apparently whatever his next project is, which, as we have learned, apparently 2026 will give us the fourth installment of the Meet the Parents franchise.
Oh, boy. I wonder what they're going to call this one. In fact, I think I have several names for what they might call it. And the names are, motherfucker, fuck him too. Go fuck around, go fucker, fuck a good, fuck a hard, fuck in the ass. And my favorite, go fuck yourself.
That was an O, by the way, not a U.
Yeah, let's see if they're going to push those lines. So we have, like, some casting information. Of course, Ben Stiller and Robert De Niro are still around, as well as, other original cast members like Terry Polo and Blythe Danner. And apparently, joining the cast of Meet the Parents 4 is Ariana Grande.
Okay.
But why, though?
Because I've got to throw this out. Meet the Parents 4 released by Universal. Guess what else they released the past few months? Wicked. And of course, the upcoming Wicked for Good, which was in those movies. Ariana Grande, and you figure, you can stay here for a while. Can you make this one legacy sequel or legacy sequel? Sir, the last movie was almost 15 years ago with Little Fockers.
You know, maybe Selena Gomez was right to just stick with Only Murders in the Building.
That show was good. I can vouch for that.
Didn't even know she was in that.
Yeah, that's the show with her, Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Steve Martin Short.
Yeah. That's the one show me and my sister watched, like, when we just watched together, like, whenever it comes, I was like, yeah, you gotta watch this, yeah. Yeah, family bonding.
Aw, that's sweet. Anyway, according to one of the film's producers, Jane Rosenthal, the plot could potentially be, quote, Ben Stiller is now the same age that Robert De Niro was when we did the first one, and his kids have grown up and they have to come home and meet the parents. I can't disclose anything else about the plot. Oh. By the way, I looked it up. Meet the Fockers came out 2004. Box office gross $522 million. Jesus Christ, Ben Stiller made some fucking money back in the day.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Wild. So, anyway, yeah, for those of you that want to have your revivals of your smash hit 2000s comedies, maybe you could do a double feature of Meet the Parents 4 and whatever the third My Big Fat Greek Wedding movie was.
Wait. They got another movie?
Yeah, they made a... Hang on. Let me double check here. Yeah, there is, in fact, three of those movies. The third one came out in 2023.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, if you forgot about it, don't worry. Most everyone else did, too.
Man, fuck it. The box office is fucking weird. But anyway, let's move on from confusing movie stuff to music industry BS. So one of the more noteworthy stories that was going around as far as like the mainstream of the industry is the whole Taylor's Version series of album re-recordings by Taylor Swift as a way to maintain some sense of ownership of her music after her first six albums were bought out by Scooter Braun. Technically speaking, he bought out the rights to their label, Big Machine Records, which technically put them in this... I'm sorry, what kind of... I know this is a tangent, but what kind of fucking name is Scooter Braun anyway? Like, motherfucker, get a real goddamn name.
It's a very white name, isn't it?
It's gonna even get Skeeter? Fucking
child. No. You have to have blue hair if you want to be called Skeeter.
What about Cousin Skeeter?
Just call yourself Stan Smith or something.
Wait, what? I mean
Cousin Skeeter, that's a different story altogether.
But yeah, so that's been a whole thing, just, you know, the ownership of all that stuff. It used to be in the possession of Ithaca Holdings, which was, you know, Scooter Braun's company, but then eventually it got sold off to a private equity firm called Shamrock Capital. Really? Anyway.
Shamrock Capital!
But recently, in a rather big story, it was announced on May 30th that she actually had purchased back the rights to her master recordings from Shamrock Capital. Apparently, she bought it for an amount relatively close to what they had paid for it, which Billboard was told by various sources was around $360 million, which, as we all know, for Taylor Swift, at this point, is basically pocket change. Seriously, did you guys see how much fucking money the Eras Tour made? Jesus Christ, that's the GDP of a mid-sized country.
Yeah, she makes a lot of money. We all know that at this point, you gotta fear it, okay?
I think I have a reason why this seemed to happen so quickly. I'm not gonna make a pun here. The next Taylor's Version album that was set to come out is Reputation. From what I understand, she's a quarter of the way through it. Maybe it's not working, and she's just gonna say, "Fuck it. I'm gonna buy it back. I can't make anything out of this." Which, if that is the case, I would agree. That album is fucking terrible.
Yeah, I think there was at least... Isn't there technically, like, a song that's, like, from that recording session out in the public, or am I misremembering?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't care enough to follow about all this, but there is a quote here from Scooter Braun to Billboard, and it's just five words. I'm going to say it as it's written. I am happy for her.
Yeah, that sounds about right for Scooter.
Yeah. I'm happy for her. And then if I say, bitch, it may say that in his mind.
Yeah, like, dude, you know what you were doing.
Yeah.
Motherfucker trying to act like he's slick.
But,
so, yeah, for all you Swifties who care about that sort of stuff, there you go. No clue if the actual Taylor's version is actually going to happen. Plus, wasn't there also supposed to be, like, a Taylor version for, like, her very, very first album? Something like that?
That's probably a very, probably a very pie in the sky thing to do that, because everybody's first album sucks. She is no exception.
Yeah, plus that would be a hell of a swerve, like, when she was super, super country.
Yeah, like, very, very...
Whatever it is she is now. Hell,
like, yeah, like, very, like so super country. You first remember her from No Joke, the Hannah Montana movie. Why I brought that up, I don't know. I don't know. And now I remember, I think Bo Billingsley was in that movie. Yes, Jet Black, the voice of Jet Black was in that movie.
Okay, I'm looking this up right now. There's no fucking way. Son of a bitch! Bo Billingsley is the mayor of Crowley Corners.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
The black man in this really ass, white ass, country ass town.
We live in a society.
I mean, I also remember him being a Leprechaun Back in the Hood, Back to the Hood. Yeah, he was in a lot of, when it comes to live action, there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of shit he was in. Or at least, well, I'm thinking, you keep quiet, but yeah. Well, I remember that, I don't know. I just remember, oh yeah, I remember that now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we're just... I'm not even going to pursue that line further. We need to exit out of here before we go too far into the Matrix.
Yeah, let's go.
So, that is the news topics. We have one last thing we need to touch on here before we start signing off, and that is the new album releases for the week of June 6th, 2025. Starting at the top, for those who are into Catatonia... They have a new album out called Nightmares as Extensions of the Waking State. If you're into Turnstile, for some reason, they have a new album called Never Enough. From rapper Little Sims, we have their new album Lotus. From a pair of names we haven't thought about in a long-ass time.
Oh, wow.
Joey Perp and Thelonious Martin with Champagne Seats.
Hmm.
Then we got a duo of albums courtesy of Brian Eno and someone named Beatty Wolf called Luminal and Lateral. Since we were joking about Stranger Things earlier, apparently Finn Wolfhard is releasing his debut album Happy Birthday. From Seth MacFarlane, we have a project called Lush Life, The Lost Sinatra Arrangements. From Lil Wayne, we have The Carter Six.
Wait, that's a thing?
Apparently. Unfortunately.
Okay. But damn, I guess I ain't heard shit about it, but okay, it's just me.
And last, maybe least, depending on who you ask, we have the newest album from Addison Rae with Addison.
There is one more thing worth mentioning out on June 6th, this Friday. My Chemical Romance, Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge, Deluxe Edition Remix album. It's coming out. It's going to sound good.
Oh, right. That album was 2004, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That album's old enough to drink.
And it needs to drink.
So, anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The usual places, Discord, other Discords. My other show, which I gotta actually start working on after this, because I've had a busy weekend. And other blue places, like, y'all know the ones. Also, tell me where I can buy a Switch 2. I don't care where, I don't care how, just give me a listing and I'll get it.
Same. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
I suppose you can find me on Blue Sky and Matt Simon Media, where, of course, I'll do my weekly Lazarus talk because that's all I need to do right now. Yes, when I episodes deep and look, so far, at least for me, it's been good. I've been liking it a lot. Like, it might be the Tommy original that could break the mold. Hopefully, please. Please. Oh, yeah, also my site, mydhyperwatch.com, you know the deal.
Yep, we all know the deal. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Blue Sky at Surreal Resolution. Visit the website surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast Q&A, all of that good stuff. Of course, be sure to jump into our Discord server as well from there so you can chat with us and be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. So that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual weekly business and, of course, the album roundup for May 2025. So, until next time, I have, seen way too much courtesy of Last Defense Academy, and, goddammit, I can't believe I would take a bullet for the crazy blue-haired chick.